My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Off the ball, GAA.
But like saying that Cork and Limerick are definitely up there. They're definitely probably the two favourites with All-Ireland really looking at for current form or the squads, they probably the team that they potentially could put down on paper.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Yeah, I think it's a big, big moment.
The League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off the Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late, late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin, looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Go Loud app.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
More of that, Keith Tracy goodness, wherever you get your podcasts. Johnny Courtney's with us. Good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
You've been posting some of your collection on Twitter recently, and I was like, come in and show us some of the jerseys that you have, because the collection is outrageous.
Yeah, I've been collecting for a very long time, so I have some unique stuff, some different stuff, some stuff that other people would have, but you know, it's all hanging on rails, and without sharing this stuff in a non kind of showing off way, it's you know, there's a community of collectors, so you're kind of showing each other what you have. So I started posting some stuff recently and it gets a bit of traction.
I was going to say, what's the response been like?
Yeah, interesting. Mostly positive. People, you know, are going, oh my God, how did you get that? They kind of want to know the backstory. I said, I'm kind of a, as my missus would say, I'm a glorified hoarder. It's just I've been doing it a long time, and you build up a kind of network of people, other collectors, people in brands, people in clubs, all that sort of stuff. And you kind of barter trade, bag, borrow, steal.
And are you going to continue collecting? Is this like, is this like a spring clean of, you know?
There's a bit of a spring clean going on, to be fair, because I have come to the realisation at nearly 50 that I literally have too many. So I'm kind of doing a bit of a clean out. But there's certain things I'd never get rid of. And there's certain things that I'll always want to get.
Yeah.
So I'm still on the lookout for certain things, but I'm happy to let some of the stuff go.
Does the hoarding translate to fashion? Do you wear what you collect?
I don't really now, to be honest. I think you can devalue some of this stuff by actually wearing it, because, I mean, all it takes is somebody to throw a pint on you or, you know, get a pull in the jersey or something like that. And these things are all valued on a bit like the collectibles in terms of cards.
Yeah.
It's all about the grades on the cards. There's a Horace Wagner card sold there the other day for $6.6 million. And the rareness equals value in these things, obviously. Hmm. So the reason that went so high was because he disagreed. He said, I don't want my image on these cards, because they were giving them out in cigarettes at the time, just 100 years ago. So there was only a couple of them made, and one went for that kind of value.
Do you feel like a coffee lover in like 2010, before the boom? So like, what do you make of all the love now of vintage football jerseys that everyone seems to be mad into?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, there's a trade-off between having something that maybe your older brother or your dad or something had, versus just going out and buying the modern one where they're mass produced and everybody kind of has one. So people want to be a little bit different. They want to stand out. I'm certainly not saying I was ahead of the curve on that. I was just a collector, as I said. So I happen to have a lot of the stuff that people are looking for right now. And that's why people reach out looking, saying, have you got such a thing? And a lot of people will say to me, even on Twitter, a lot of DMs and stuff, would say, oh, have you got a catalogue or a store? And I'm like, no, I just post stuff here. And if you actually want something specific, tell me what you're looking for by player or by style or by year of jersey, and I'll try and narrow it down for you, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things you had was the World Cup squad from 2002, Keane's jerseys that he would have worn in a knockout game. I was like, well, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, I've actually got a couple of Roy's shirts that clearly unworn, as I always say, but they're probably the most valuable unworn shirts that are out there, in certainly in terms of the Irish market. There's one you have over there, which is Roy's one against, would have been Roy's one against Saudi Arabia. And then I had the white away one, which probably, you know, it wasn't branded up for the fixture because this obviously one? We didn't know. Yeah. That's another one. That's a different one we can come on to in a sec. But the white away one, as I was saying, was also one that's in the collection, but it didn't have the fixture on it because we didn't know who we were playing, obviously, as we went through.
Jesus, that would bring a tear to the eye. This is what could have been jersey.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. And I know I gave his Germany one to somebody a long, long time ago, and they went and got it signed. And I believe there was a bit of a cold stare. And a very brave person going up to get that one signed, sure. I think.
Where'd you get this?
Yes, there was a bit of that going on.
I remember there was a very specific numbering in the Ireland jersey. It was quite distinctive.
It was a brand number at the time, so Celtic would have worn that in Europe and blah, blah, blah. So it was coloured to the jersey.
And so you have two of those, do you?
I have a couple of Roy's. I also have a couple more of the green ones, but again, without the fixture on them, because we had to supply all the kits all the way through to the final at the time in case they got there. So they have to have everything out there. So there was blanks for obviously the round of 16, quarter, semis and final all the way through.
Okay.
And as a matter of interest, is it public how much they would go for?
I've been offered five figures for that one. Which obviously I haven't taken because I still have it. So, that's quite valuable.
Does every piece that you have a price?
I always say everything has a price. Because I've been buying, selling and trading so long, I have a good idea in my own head what they're worth. Specifically in terms of the Irish jerseys, because it's a market I know fairly well. So, everything has a price. As I said, there's certain things I would never want to sell. But, you can someday somebody comes along and offers you something that may be too good to turn down.
Is there anything in particular that you hold very close to your heart?
I like that Roy one, have to say.
I mean,
it's different. It's unique in terms of the story behind it. As I said, in terms of the unworn valuable piece, they're normally worth more worn. But that one, I think, either which way.
This one is actually way nicer than I thought it would be to feel. It's like this is Russia 2011 number 5 with the number the proper number on it, as opposed to the hand drawn one. On the front and back, it's actually really soft.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that
was a performance cotton, so it feels like an old school jersey.
Yeah.
But it's very comfortable from a supporter's way, but it performs when it's on field. And again, that's just by coincidence. That's another one that was actually unworn, and the story behind that is that's the jersey that was locked in the dressing room in Moscow when they couldn't get. And that was all stemmed from the month before when Russia played Germany in the qualifier. The German dressing room was robbed, and they robbed all their watches and they robbed all their wallets and everything. So the German FA told the FAI,
lock your dressing room.
Happened, make sure the dressing room is locked. But then when Dunn needed a new jersey, he couldn't get back in to get it.
I actually did not know why they couldn't get the jersey.
Yeah, right. That's the story behind what happened.
I have to say, I thought it was an FAI thing that they kind of like didn't think about it, and they were like, I'm going to have to come up with something here quickly.
Yeah, well, under normal circumstances, that's part of the course.
Yeah.
Sorry, the cotton. Like, how long was that an unusual period of time? Because jerseys these days do not feel as nice.
No, well, I mean, all jerseys fundamentally are polyester now, right? I mean, they used to be kind of a mix of cotton drill, cotton twill. or just pure cotton. And at the time, Umbro were making a tailored by Umbro range, it was called, and it was like a throwback range to 50s jerseys and stuff, but with a modern blend of materials. So, as I said a minute ago, that actually feels like a very soft, natural cotton, but it performs as a polyester because it's a blend.
Okay.
What do you make of these kind of match-worn jerseys versus replica jerseys that you can now buy? I was in a shop there and you could do that with the Irish rugby jersey.
As in getting it personalised with
it? No, it was there was a section in the shop that it was like the actual match worn jersey.
This would be sorry,
the
I know
player
what you mean.
Fit actually,
yeah.
player fit versus the replica. So it's almost categories now. It wasn't like that.
It wasn't. It was kind of one jersey for the supporters, one jersey for the players. But obviously, what they've done over time, the brands have kind of elevated and developed more technology into jerseys and stuff like that and performance elements. So what they want to do is obviously then split the category and have a premium high price, max out price at about 150 quid now retail for a player style shirt. And that's what's worn obviously on field. Yeah. And then you have a replica takedown. But the problem is, in my opinion, they're making the replica, the cheaper one, if you like, nearly too cheap now, but they're still charging a very expensive price for it.
Yeah.
So whereas you used to get a good product for your price, the valuing in my mind, the replicas is not as good as it used
to be. Yeah. Now this jersey is a conversation stopper if someone wears it coming into the room. I know a few. What do you think of when you see that jersey?
Well, I remember my own memory is Diego running into the camera, grabbing the camera.
94 World Cup.
Yeah. Just before he got kicked out, right? So that's an original jersey. Actually, another thing on that extension of the jerseys, the player ones and the replicas, is obviously people now are doing a lot of reissues. So Adidas have actually rebrought that jersey out last year. That's an original one back from 94. Which I managed, I was lucky to get signed.
Signed by Maradona.
Maradona, yeah. So that's a pretty cool one. That'd be pretty pride of place now as well.
I'd say so, yeah. It's Maradona Diego 10, he's written underneath it.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Just so, exactly. And also for people, to give the real context, the number 10, both the front and the back, could not be crisper.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful. Well, you really would be afraid of wearing this out.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, anything with a signature of somebody who's gone, because they're not signing anymore, right? So you can't get it redone.
This one is signed by Messi, and it's the World Cup final jersey.
Yeah, so that's a player-issued jersey, which they never sold in a lot of countries. So you could get them in some countries. So I managed to get one of those. I then went and procured via various contacts the sleeve badges and the fixture.
Yeah.
And then I had a contact of mine in the US get it signed for me. So that's just a pure kind of collector's piece, because obviously it's not what he wore, but it's a very much a replica. It's exactly what he wore in the size he wore with all the details from the World Cup final. And then the piece de resistance is obviously the signature under the 10, you know?
Yeah, it's class. You want it, you almost want to like snip it up the side so you can show the front and back when you mount it.
I know a firm that actually does that in terms of displaying, and then they'll put some pictures or your ticket stubs and stuff in the middle, but it would I think break my heart to cut it up, you
absolutely
know?
Yeah,
were they quite hard to sort, the sleeve patches?
They're meant to just in a lot of cases the sleeve patches are just meant to be issued to the federations.
Yeah,
at certain tournaments they allow a certain amount of them to be sold to the public as well now, so you can get some other stuff done as well. So
we're rolling out the big guns.
Wow. That is a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
This is the New York Cosmos Pele.
Yeah. Now, the jersey is a remake.
Right.
From around the 2011 when they brought the Cosmos back and started again. And again, I was lucky enough to get, as part of the promo of the club and everything, and it was an Umbro deal at the time, and Pele signed some stuff, so I was lucky enough to get one of those. So that's a remake of the kind of 70s jersey that they would have worn at the time.
On that.
Yeah, very, very soft again. But it was in the same era as when that Richard Dunn shirt was made, actually.
Right, yeah.
But that was actually a throwback. That was very much a deliberate thing done as a fashion piece, if you like, because the Cosmos would have worn a performance jersey on the field. That was just a fan or, you know, a replica piece from the...
Man United did have a kind of a similar feel to this jersey. Do you remember there was a navy one? It was around 99-2000. And it was a black collar and a navy jersey. It was like a rugby feel to it.
Oh, yes. That was the one we wore away when we drew 2-0 with Holland.
Bang on. That was a very different jersey
yeah. and certainly divides opinion, but at the time it was a sports wool.
It was wool.
So it was developed in the UK by a UK fabric manufacturer at the time. And Man United had one. A lot of the Celtic, a lot of the Umbro clubs, I should say, were wearing a sports wool variant at the time. So England wore one as well. Their one was the red one, the away one. We did it in green. Very heavy.
Looked unbelievably heavy.
It did perform, but if you were just wearing it around on a hot day, it wasn't overly comfortable compared to the lighter ones.
And it looked massive on every player. It looked oversized.
I'm trying to dig up the...
Back then, you have to remember, every single player was issued with XL.
Oh, right.
Right, so there was no choices back then. You just badged them all up.
David Connolly, Paul McGrath, and Sam Kerr.
Yeah. Julian Dix at West Ham, he'd be coming out with the tucked out, you couldn't see his shorts. Yeah. It was so long.
So everybody was wearing XL then. It was only from around... it's probably around 2004 or so, players start saying, asking for specific jersey sizes. So that's the result of that.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Now Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
This is a Man United George Best.
Yeah. Oh. So another one that's not been getting any more signatures these days.
Now, what is that? Is that
so? That was when Manchester United wore Umbro back in the 90s and early 2000s. They did their own kind of retro collection. Yeah. So that was a throwback to the 58? Was it shirt I heard that, bizarrely, somebody told me one day that George was over in a rugby club over in Donnybrook or so, and I ran over. I had a couple of those shirts, so I ran over and managed to get him to sign them.
What's the crest?
It was the old Man United crest that was used around then for the European final.
Huh.
Even though, if I remember right, they wore blue in that, didn't they? They wore blue in the
final.
They
wore blue, yeah.
But that's obviously the red version.
There's a black, the most common highlights reel of that is black and white, but there is a coloured version of that match.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure they wore blue that night.
No, spot on.
So it's obviously your collection isn't just jerseys, it's an incredible collection. It's boots and boxing gloves as well that you spent on as well. This is a pair of blue boots with number 11 on them, signed by Henrik Larsson.
They were a pair of Larsson's match-worn boots from the 2002 World Cup.
That's good. Right.
Yeah.
Do you know which game? Was it a group?
Certain players wore new boots in every game, which doesn't make a lot of sense, really. He's talking about breaking them in and stuff. He wore those in a couple of games. I can't tell exactly. It's very hard. He had a couple of pairs of them out there with him, but they came back worn. And he was an Umbro athlete at the time, so we were lucky enough to have some contacts there, and I was able to... get them over.
I remember
UK his, 8 small feet.
Is that right? UK 8.
It's only 8. I thought it was 9. Funny enough.
US 9.
All the mud and all at the end.
Yeah.
Wow. That's from Korea and Japan.
Yeah.
That is class.
Yeah. He was one of my favorite players. So being a big Celtic fan,
I remember his look. He had the tape around keeping the shin pads up and the boots here for Celtic and Sweden. Class. Yeah.
What have you got over there?
I have a couple of more orange shirts over here. I have. Shane Long against Germany, where he scored the goal, which is signed as well, which is obviously a nice one to have. There's one of Robbie's 100 cap shirts, which was obviously in the first game in the Aviva as well, with the gold 100 under, which obviously no other players had on the night. This one is an interesting one. This is John Sheridan's match shirt from the Ireland-England abandoned game.
Oh, no way.
5. Now, interestingly, I got this from somebody else. But bizarrely, even though it's Sheridan's shirt, it's signed by David Kelly, who's
all right.
Goal.
Kenny Ford, so yeah.
That's a bit of a different one. And then we've got Houlihan's, one of Houlihan's versus Sweden when he scored the goal in the opener at the Euro 2016 in Stade de France.
As soon as you say the player, I can see them in the jersey.
Oh, yeah. That's the best thing about
it. It's mad. It's like
kind of living history.
I know see John Sheridan's long sleeves. And
yes. Again, back to everybody was wearing XL, right? Yeah. So it didn't matter what size you were. Ned Kelly was wearing XL as well. They were all wearing crazy big shirts. And it was kind of on trend at the time. In the 90s, everybody was wearing baggy stuff on the street as well.
Yeah. Joe Bloggs.
Joe Bloggs jeans. So that's exactly what it was like. When it's Robinson's centenary shirt.
This is 2016, is it?
Yeah. This one was from the 2021 game where I was lucky enough to kind of bring back the blue. And I love telling that story. This is one of my favorite shirts that I actually ever designed as well. And it was because I got to do the crest. Because normally you're working with a club, they have their crest, or a federation, they have the crest, and you work around that. But it was very nice to be able to actually influence the whole thing this time. And it looks like a simple shamrock, right? To be fair. There's some raised details in it, the way it's done, but it was from a design perspective and aesthetic, I was just happy to have a go at actually doing a crest down as well.
So is this the one that they wore in a friendly at the Aviva?
Yeah, wasn't it? And they beat, or Qatar, sorry, it was Qatar, and they beat Qatar 4-0, and Robinson got a hat-trick in it.
Arthur has that jersey.
They're delicious.
Yeah. So the last one I have over here for you guys is... McLean from the Wales away game, which was the must win qualifier to get us into the playoff for the World Cup, and obviously James got the goal with about 20 minutes left, and the rest was history until the playoff.
we nearly made it.
Yeah,
I believe these are David Mitre's boots.
Oh yeah,
and if it's not that exact game, it's around that, I think. Yeah. So he brought them in as well.
Very
that,
good.
That game. Rests well in this studio, actually, that one, 2017.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was Jeff Hendrick crossed it in, wasn't it, for McLean?
It was, from memory, yeah. Well, he came down the right wing, right find it across. Yeah, it was great. Great result that night. Because when you're under pressure to win away from home, as we know, it doesn't happen that often.
The best thing we have in the studio is Kilvan bequeathed us this. It's a wooden football that they bought 22 of them.
Yeah.
For the 23-man squad in at the end of the World Cup, and they all signed each other's.
Cool.
Now, one of the cleaners one day came in and started to wipe off the names. There might be one fewer name than there should be. There's obviously no Roy Keane on it, but everybody else is on it.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the signatures. You can't be losing those.
No.
Interesting. The Brazil shirt.
Oh, sorry, you mentioned.
Let me tell you about the Brazil shirt.
Yeah, we'll have a picture of it.
Yeah, so 1994, Brazil won the World Cup. The story goes, this is a story we were told. So your sponsors, your Umbros, your Adidas, whoever, in the contract, you're always going to get X amount of signed jerseys per game or per World Cup or tournament, etc. So All the licensees were asked, how many jerseys do you want? What Mexico ones do you want? What Brazil ones do you want? Etc. So everybody wanted a lot of Brazil ones. At the time, there was, again, this came back from the Umbro liaison guy. There was a row in the squad between Bebeto and Romario. And if Romario signed a shirt, Bebeto wouldn't sign it, and vice versa. And then contagion happened. And if Bebeto's mates saw Romario sign the jersey, they wouldn't sign the jersey. And again, Romario's mates started doing this. So there was nonsense going on. So the Umbro guy at training one day, I think around the quarterfinal time, went up and said, lads, we have commitments all over the world for hundreds of jerseys to be signed. And you're not doing them. This is nonsense. So the manager, who was Pereira, Carlos Alberto Pereira, said, right, I'll sign whatever you have now. That's it. And he was like, well, I only have like 15 jerseys. This is all I have. And a couple were training shirts and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Rye, who had a shirt as well, and said, here, get this signed. So the manager said, this is it. One chance. Everybody sign now. And all of them signed it. So there was 17 done in total.
Right.
So there was a call put in to all the partners around the world and said, look, there's no Brazil shirts going to come. We only got 17. Blah, blah, blah. And my old man said to the sports marketing guy at the time, he said, okay, well, I'll just give you these numbers here. And he says, what numbers? And he said, well, these are all the charities and the people who we've promised them to, and you can make the phone calls. And he said, leave it with me. And my old always said, even though it was a bit of a sneaky thing to do, he said, whoever told the best story was the one who was going to get the very limited number of shirts. So we managed to get one of those. And that kind of holds pride of place, because whether the story is true or not, it's a great story.
Yeah.
And reputedly, there's only 17 fully signed by all of the 22 plus some of the staff members of the Brazil 94 team.
And do you get that valued just purely for insurance purposes?
Like purely for insurance purposes, you could say that at the right auction on the right day with the right guy, 50
right.
grand.
Right, yeah.
Probably, and obviously increasing, because as these things disappear and some things get thrown out by people, and you know, people pass away and their family don't know what they have, and they bin stuff all the time. This happens obviously with a lot of different kinds of things. But as things get rarer and rarer, the value shoots up, and also collecting is very much a growing category for people at the moment. You know,
yeah, like I lament jerseys that have been thrown out from childhood completely.
I've done it myself, even as a hoarder. I've thrown out some jerseys over the years, and I'm like, what did I do that for? Or gave it away, or shopped it, or whatever, you know?
And the decision making of throwing it out at the time, is that because you're in a spring clean mindset, or you're actually specific?
Yeah, really, that's what it was down to. It's like, I need to create a bit of space here, and there were certain things I don't really need that. I haven't worn that for a certain amount of time, and some stuff now I regret. Like, I remember there was definitely some kind of Leinster and Munster and stuff, rugby jerseys I had, that I had kind of collected, and I was like, I'm never going to do anything with these. And I kind of gave them to a charity shop at one point, and I kind of regret doing that, and I did it with quite a lot of stuff. I don't, another interesting one, actually, and here's a good one. There's a reward for this. So years and years ago, we kind of got to meet Eric Cantona through the Manchester United thing a couple of times, and blah, 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 and he kind of got on. He was very friendly. He was a nice guy. And he promised us his cup final jersey from 1996.
Wow.
And he ended up scoring the only goal, of course, against Liverpool.
Calamity James was the headline on the Sunday Times the next day.
Okay. So anyway, a couple of weeks later, the jersey arrived over. And we were going to get it framed, and it was sitting upstairs. But my mum and dad were getting some work done in the house at the time, and there was a lot of people in and out, and that jersey went missing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so if anybody knows where the 1996 Cantona jersey is, which I presume is somewhere around Dublin, right? There's a substantial reward if anybody can ever usurp that and find out where it is.
Tell me this, though. If you were to walk into your house, would it be quite obvious that you have this as part of your life?
No, that wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
That would be all hidden away. And no, I actually have quite a lot of stuff kind of in storage, to be fair. Yeah. Because, you know, the attic is full of other stuff, as everybody else's house is. So I keep a lot of the stuff offside, especially the bulkier items, which are like the framed and the, you know, the displayed items in Perspex boxes and stuff. And some of the stuff is quite big, the boxing gloves and all that. So it takes up a lot of space. So from that point of view, I kind of keep that offside. Not from a security point of view, it's more from the practical, just space point of view.
Was there ever any thought to like putting all this in museum, like a little museum, you know, the little museum of Dublin or something, a similar thing where like people will come in and wander around for an hour.
Yeah, at one point I was trying to guide, if you like, the FAI when they had a partnership with those guys into doing a national football museum. I mean, in fairness to the FAI, it was always cash was an issue, so they didn't really have the space or the time or the bandwidth to do it. I kind of did line up somewhere a space with them with a major retailer who had kind of two floors above a retail space that wasn't being used. And we were going through the motions of doing that with the idea being that all of the, there was a, do you remember the Euro 2020 tour thing that went around for a while? When that was at its natural end going around the country, and it was kind of messed up by COVID then subsequently a bit as well, all those units and all those display things, cases and stuff, the idea was we'd get them back, we'd start to fill them out and start to slowly build a museum for the FAI so they didn't have to do it themselves. But eventually it just didn't work, you know, with a combination of COVID and everything else. And there wasn't enough stuff in that either. It would have cost another considerable amount to do it. But I have tried to do it before, is the long story. A lot of this stuff probably should be in museums. And as a result of it, there not being a national football museum, there's no natural home for it.
Yeah, well, that Keane jersey from the World Cup is, it's a national significance. They're still making movies about it.
Well, there you go. We're a long time removed from Saipan, and it's still a very divisive topic for every football fan, right? And not just football fans.
It turns out an entire new generation. 93% Rotten Tomatoes is the review of the movie.
I haven't seen it yet. But
I haven't seen it.
I need to go and see it.
Have you seen it?
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah. We'll nip off now, will we?
Yeah. Johnny, great stuff. If anybody is interested in making contact with you, is the best way through Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter's probably the easiest way to go. It's just at Johnny Courtney. Courtney's spelled a bit funny, but you'll figure it out.
Good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us today.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.